You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello everyone, a warm welcome to Thursday's Racing Podcast here with William Hill. Dave Kellner in the studio alongside Kevin O'Malley to give you some bets ahead of the racing action on Thursday. Good day's racing as well on Thursday, and we'll spin through three races at Sandown and one at Newbury for you in due course. We'll also talk about a couple of the feature races coming up at this weekend, which are priced up on the William Hill website. Just go to williamhill.com, click on horse racing and future races, and you'll see all the anti-post odds here at the home of betting. First of all, a warm welcome to a man who's had a hectic 24 hours.
Just a bit.
Kevin O'Malley.
How are you, DK?
I'm very well, sir. How are you, more to the point?
Not too bad, yeah. It's been a testing 24 hours with hotel issues, shall we say. But I'm over it now. I've relaxed, I'm calm, and I'm looking forward to the racing ahead.
Can you give us the full story on here or not?
Would you like me to?
Yes.
Okay.
The listeners, would you? I've heard the full story, but the listeners want the full story.
There was a well-known chain of hotels, shall we say. I checked in last night in Leeds at around 10 o'clock, put my bag into my room, my belongings, and I went out for a bite to eat, as you do after a long day on the radio. Got back at around 12 o'clock, and the woman at the reception told me that there was somebody in my room, that they had checked in, and that my bag was now out of my room and in her possession, and that the hotel was full, and that I had nowhere to sleep. So, to cut a long story short, I had to get in a cab to another branch of this hotel chain 20 minutes away and stay there. I've stayed in hotels all over the world, from hostels to five-star resorts, and I've never in my life experienced anything quite like that.
Unbelievable.
Quite.
Yes, that's some story, and just for full transparency purposes, you hadn't ordered anyone to come to your room, had you?
No, it was a completely unwelcome guest.
Unwelcome visitor.
Well, I'm just happy that the receptionist intervened when I walked in from having my bite to eat, and I didn't end up walking into the room to this poor frightened soul who had checked in. It would have been quite embarrassing. And equally, I'm glad that they gave my bag back rather than having a look and seeing what was in there.
Yes.
So any number of things could have happened, but you know, we're here, we're healthy, and we're over it.
We are. Let's get stuck into the racing action then, Mr. O'Malley. And we'll start by having a quick look at a couple of the anti-post races on the William Hill website, because big news this morning, breaking in the King George, with postponed now an absentee, and a race that had already been called into question as far as the quality was concerned has deteriorated even further with the absence of the odds-on favourite postponed. And at least from a betting perspective, it gives the race a nicer shape to actually have a punt in.
Yeah, there is that positive too. Obviously, it's a shame to lose postponed, last year's winner. And, you know, when he won the race last year, the quality of the renewal was called into question. And it probably wasn't the best of renewals at the time, but he's since developed into a legitimately top-class middle distance performer, hasn't he? So it's a shame that he's not there. But we have Dartmouth, the Hardwick winner, in the top of the market. And Highland Reel, they're quite closely matched in the Royal Ascot running, aren't they?
Yes.
And that day, I think Shamie Heffernan dropped his whip, and Highland Reel was suffered a little bit of... it just didn't get the cleanest of runs through at Royal Ascot. But I think Wings of Desire is on the wings, and I think he could be the danger in the race.
Let me spin you through the betting. Dartmouth is the 2-1 favourite. The Queen trying to win this for the first time since 1954. Dartmouth 2-1, Highland Reel 11-4, Wings of Desire in at 100-30, Erupt is 5-1, and it's 14-1 bar the top four in the betting. And when the market was reformed, I was sitting next to you out in the office, and I said Wings of Desire is in at 9-2, and that was, we're recording this at 1 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, that was around about 2 hours ago now.
Yeah.
And 9-2 Wings of Desire was the quote. That's gone, 100-30 now. And you said immediately to me, 9-2 looked big.
Yeah, and the reason it looked big is because, with all due respect to Highland Reel and Dartmouth, who are two, you know, quality four-year-olds, they're not top class four-year-olds just yet. And on official figures, at least, there's not a great deal between them and the three-year-old Wings of Desire.
Yeah.
And Wings of Desire obviously gets a £12 weight for age allowance in this race, which is huge. It's significant. Obviously, you know, they've got a year on him and whatnot, but he's a formidable three-year-old. He's a Danty winner. He was fourth in the Derby. He's missed out the Irish Derby. He's missed out Royal Ascot in favour of coming straight here. And with that allowance, it could turn out to be a stroke of genius. And at 9-2 at face value, as I said in the office, it seemed quite big, and it was quickly sharpened into 130. So I wasn't the only one that was thinking along those lines. Mm. And I still think he is, he could be a real thorn in the side of those 2 4-year-olds. I mean, in recent years, the only 2 3-year-olds that have won it have been Nathaniel and Tegruda. So 4-year-olds have dominated in recent years, but through the 90s and the early 2000s, it was all about the 3-year-olds in the King George. So many big names down the years, I think Wings of Desire, it's set up for him to make a bounce back to form. He was a little bit below par at Epsom.
130, our Wings of Desire here with William Hill right now at time of recording. Let's have a quick word on the Sky Bet York Stakes as well, which is at York, obviously, on Saturday afternoon. And Time Test is the 4-6 favourite. Interlark is 9-2. Air Pilot, Marsoub and Scottish all 10-1. Tullius is 12-1, and it's 14s and bigger the remainder in the field at the moment. And this is it. This intrigues me, this contest, because when Interlark met Time Test in the Brigadier Gerard Stakes at Sandown, Interlark was sent off a 5-4 favourite, yeah, and Time Test was 3-1. I know there's been a bit of a pull in the weight subsequently as well for this contest. But now we're betting Interlark 9-2, Time Test 4-6. Has there been an overreaction to the result of the Brigadier Gerard Stakes?
It's a fair question. I mean, Time Test has come on and he was quite impressive in that race, and Interlark, he's a bit of an enigma at this stage, isn't he? Because it's not the first time that he's blown out when he's been fancied. And we just don't know if it's going to be the last time. We know how talented he can be, but he just needs to produce it a bit more consistently. So I can understand that Time Test is heading the market and clearly heading the market. But, you know, Interlark has a little bit of soul searching to do at this stage. So I think Time Test is probably the more solid option. And if there was ever an example of the weight for age allowance being useful to 3-year-olds, it was in that at the Eclipse last time out, where Time Test was trying to give £11 to Hawkbill and the second horse that day, the Gurkha.
Yes.
And it's just a really tough thing to do. So going back to the King George, what we were talking about a minute ago, but you know, this will be a more level playing field. But I'd still get the feeling that with that race fitness that Time Test has in his hands, but then again, they could have gone back. They could have got Interlack back to the yard and found that something was amiss that day. We just don't know what Interlack is going to turn up, really.
I wonder if we'll see a lot of cash for Interlark. That's the general way it works with this horse, as you mentioned. That performance on the turf in that Group One in Maidan, where Interlark was racing over 9 furlongs, was well backed on that occasion as well. So clearly, he's held in extremely high regard, Interlark. And I just wonder whether we'll see a swing movement in the prices come the day, and Time Test drifting a little bit with Interlark shortening in the market. It's not a 2-horse race though, this one.
No.
It's just 10-1 bar the top two in the betting.
Yeah, there's lots of solid horses in the race, isn't there? Massoub in Scotland and a couple of others, the likes of Western Hymn. I don't know if he's going to go for that. He could run the King George, I'm not sure. But as you say, there are several in there who could get into the bustle them up a little bit. But to be honest, it looks like the top two in the market. It's very difficult to see Time Test not being in the first two. Surely whatever beats him wins it.
Yep. Let's get stuck into Thursday's racing action then, Kev. And we've got 3 races on the agenda at Sandown, and 1 at Newbury. Decent day's racing as well on Thursday. Make sure you stay with us. It's Gordon Brown, by the way, alongside Chris Pimlott, Andrew Mount on Racing Radio. Ken Pitterson is around as well. I think he might go to Sandown in the afternoon, Ken. So join us then. Let's start by having a look at the 2:30 at Sandown, Kevin. And we've only got 5 runners here, but it's an intriguing contest over 1 mile and 6 furlongs, because you've got Saint Michel, who is expected to win this race. Is probably going to go for a short price favourite, but Parliamentarian's interesting as well.
Yeah, I mean, Parliamentarian did well to win it. A Haydock maiden over 9 furlongs last time out, and that was after an 8-month break. He's got a nice unexposed profile, but he steps up by 5 furlongs here, which is a little bit of an extreme. I mean, of course, it could bring about some improvement, but it's a question that he needs to answer all the same. And the time of that Haydock win was pretty ordinary, so there's a couple of question marks there for Parliamentarian. San Michel is probably the solid option in the race. He brings a good mix of form and experience to the table. He's a typical Prescott improver, but at the likely prices, I'm quite keen to take a chance on the Stetchwood Park. I was in the studio when he won at Catterick. I mean, it was only an ordinary enough maiden, and he's been a little bit quirky in the past, but the penny seemed to drop quite nicely. He travels really well, and I think he's quite talented. And this is his handicap debut. He stepped up in trip for it, and Probert riding at the top of his game this season. He could just be the sneaky bit of value in the race. So I'll just put up Stetchworth Park for a little bit of a left field selection there.
Stetchworth Park in the 2:30. The 3:05 at Sandown is the Phillies listed race over 7 furlongs for the 2-year-olds. And we've got a whole host of unknown quantities in the field here, Kev. Grizzle's interesting as well because we're sent off a relatively short price for the Albany. But flopped badly on that occasion, having won back-to-back races. Pat Dobbs takes the ride.
Yeah, it's funny you should mention her because I was distraught after her run at Rye Lasca. I put her up on my blog. I really fancied her.
Yeah, I think many did.
Yeah, I mean, after that run at Beverley in the Hillary Needler, the way she picked up in final furlong, it's like the penny just dropped, a light switched on in her head, and she realised she was a racehorse that day, and she was really impressive. But, you know, it could have been a mixture of the ground and getting out of bed the wrong side. You know, it's hard to know exactly what went wrong that day, but... generally speaking, I'm okay with drawing a line under runs like that, and I'm happy to give her another chance. I mean, Calaire, the Godolphin filly here, she displayed a nice burst of speed on her debut run at Donny, and she could be useful, but the speed rating was only average, and this is a big step up against more experienced juveniles. On her toes is improving nicely for Haggis, is a big danger, has to be respected. But I'm going to stick with Grizzle just for one more run and see what she's made of.
Yeah, I think that's wise. Can forgive one bad run, but never two.
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, the final race at Sandown we are going to preview on this podcast is the 3:40, and this is a handicap over 1 mile and 2 furlongs, and there are 8 of them in the lineup here. Where do you want to start?
There's 2 in here, and I'm kind of torn between the pair of them, Just Pernu and Goodwood Mirage. Yeah. I'm going to side with Michael Bell's Goodwood Mirage, who was really, really unlucky at Doncaster last week, where the gaps just didn't appear on time for him under Lewis Stewart. But he stayed on really strongly. He's due to go up £3, and if he can repeat that effort, he looks well treated here. This is his first visit to Sandown. He has had his quirks in the past. He's had a bit of a enigmatic career, so to speak, but he seems pretty straightforward on the flat this season, and he's due a win. He just looks like he's ready to win a race, you know. I don't think the track will be a problem for him. The ground should be fine, and I think he's going to be hard to beat. But Just Pernu, again, is another one that's due to go up £3 after a good run last time out, and is a clear and present danger. And I think the race revolves around those two, but I'm going to stick with Goodwood Mirage.
Goodwood Mirage, then, in the 3:40 Sandown. Now to Newbury, the 7:10, Kev. And
yes.
Bedrock, a winner last time out, is stepping up in trip here. Going up to back up to 1 mile and 2, has run over this distance before, having won over 1 mile at Haydock. Willie Haggis trains, Sylvester D'Souza rides, still one of, I'm not sure he's underrated anymore, but one of my favourite jockeys, Sylvester D'Souza. And it's whether or not Bedrock is going to be suited by this step back up in distance. Are you surprised at the move?
No, not really. I mean, the headgear worked for him last time out, but I just think he might be a little bit easier. Might prefer a little bit of ease in the ground,
right?
As well, and just for that reason alone, the fact that he has shown a few quirks in the past, I'm happy to leave him alone. Raven's Quest did catch the eye at Nottingham last time out, but he's gone up £10 for that, which seemed a little bit extreme and a little bit more on his plate here. I feel against both sides, who's likely to go off pretty short odds both sides for Balding, a 3-year-old. He endured a nightmare run at Sandown last time out, and that was in a Class 3 race. He's dropped down to Class 4 company here. For his reappearance 3 weeks later, and I just think he looks to hold all the aces. He comes into the race with the best form, I think, and I think he's going to be quite hard to beat. So it'd be both sides for me. A tricky little affair though, but I'm just happy to side with the likely favourite there, both sides.
Super, thank you Kev, thank you for your company on this podcast.
No problem at all.
Make sure you're with us for Thursday's racing action. Gordon Brown, Chris Pimlott, Andrew Mount here in the studio, and of course we'll have Ken Pitterson live from the track as well, and lots of high quality racing on Thursday. We've got Sandown, we've got Worcester and Yarmouth in the afternoon, Doncaster and Newbury and Leopardstown and Limerick in the evening as well. So make sure you're with us live on William Hill Racing Radio on Thursday afternoon. Thanks again to Kevin O'Malley for his preview of those two Antipost races and the racing action on Thursday. And thanks, of course, to you for listening as well. If you ever want to contact us, you can do studio@williamhill.co.uk is the email address, and you can tweet us at Will Hill Racing. Thank you for listening to Thursday's Racing Podcast here with William Hill, and we'll speak again soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.